sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And I serve as broker for our company as well. And we're talking bugs today. We have got with us in the studio Mark Carr to start with. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Becky.
Mark is my director of operations and is here to help me play catch up today, actually. We have Chance Sattler with Classics Pest Control, and we are looking at bugs. I've looked at a lot of bugs the last couple of weeks.
I bet you have.
Just got in yesterday from a flight from, where did I go? I went to Korea to see one of my kids, and that was worth it, by the way. That flight was terrible, but it was worth it to see those two little kids, a one and a two-year-old. And then we went to Vietnam and had the best tour ever.
That had to be fascinating.
Well, I want to tell you, some a little bit older than me, did not like the fact that I would vacation in Vietnam. My husband and my son, who were with us, were very interested to see where Grandpa was in Vietnam.
Sure.
And the guide that we employed was a translator for the U.S. Army during the Vietnam War. And we had the best tour because he took us where we wanted to go and see and showed us that there were still some U.S. bunkers there. And he was a U.S. sympathizer. He said, well, some of our country didn't understand what was going on. He said, I spoke the language so I could understand. So anyway, we saw lots of bugs. And we're talking about bugs today. Centipedes and such. Do you know, when I was a kid, we had centipedes. And we had lots of scorpions. Why don't we have those now, Chance?
Oh, they're around.
Oh, they are.
they're definitely hiding in there.
They're more of a sandy soil type bug, I think.
Yes, we have a lot of scorpions northern Edmond. I get a lot of calls there. Not so much here in the Oklahoma City metro. Thank God.
Well, it's probably the buildup of suburbia and the urban maybe doesn't.
It is. Every time we get a new house built, all the neighbors around them suddenly have pest issues.
And, oh.
Well, we're disturbing their world. You know, we just live here.
Yeah, and then they probably, I know I threw some trash away one time when the first night we spent in our new house. And I went in and I had a great big garbage bag where we had cleaned up, and the garbage bag was almost walking toward me. It was because the mice had found the garbage bag.
Oh, my.
It was gross. But anytime you're around a good source of food, undisturbed piles of trash, you get rodents.
Yeah, they're going to hang around. The next thing you know, you got snakes. Snakes coming after the rodents.
I know, right. I saw an episode of Fixer Upper.
Uh-oh.
Where they filmed the snake in the attic and said, well, you got a mouse problem here. And they said, how do you know? And they said, well, because that snake is enormously large in the attic. And they showed him a picture of it. It's a very healthy snake.
He's having a good old time in the attic.
Yeah, I sold a house out in Piedmont one time where it didn't freak the people out, but there were so many snake skins in that attic. They said that it was like a super highway up there.
Wow.
Of snake trails. But it took a lot. But anytime you see a lot of snakes in an attic, do you treat for the snakes?
We treat for the rodents.
You treat for the rodents, their source of food, right?
Correct.
Well, we have got Chance Sattler is our go-to guy when it comes to pest control. And when we sell real estate, we have a lot of pest control issues that we have to deal with. The biggest one is?
Termites.
Termites.
Yay, my favorite.
Okay, well, we're going to talk a little bit about termites. What attracts termites?
Well, moisture, number one. They're always coming after moisture sources. Wood, favorite thing. It's what they love to eat the most. So stacks of wood, firewood, moisture again, leaks you may have in the home, something that they're attracted to. Typically, termites are everywhere. They play a vital part in the ecosystem.
What do they eat?
Oh, anything cellulose. So wood, of course, paper products, your cardboard boxes you might stack in your garage, sometimes furniture, sheetrock, the paper on the sheetrock, trim boards, of course, anything cellulose-based.
Do you know one of my favorite stories about termites? I had this guy that owned a house in the 60s. It was built in 60 or 61, right up the street from me in Rolling Wood. And he was a delightful guy, very old. And finally, when he died, everybody, his family, fought over his collection of first edition books. He had shelf around his living room, way up, you know, close to the ceiling, all around the walls of first edition books, and they were quite valuable. And they didn't want them because their beloved family member had them. They wanted them because they were valuable. Mm. And so as they were fussing and fighting, somebody decided to go ahead and take some books. They reached up there to get four or five books, as you can by your in one hand, and they collapsed.
They fell apart, yeah.
Well, there was no paper left in those books. They had not been moved in decades, and the paper was gone. The termites had found a way, had found the easiest source of munching that they could do was eating that paper. So if you have books, don't just dust the outside of them. I mean, at least once a year, take those books out of the bookshelf and dust behind them, because selling houses, we found a lot of termites in the back of bookshelves.
Yes, I've seen paintings that have been eaten. They're normally backed by cardboard or paper hanging on the wall. And as termites poke their heads out of the wall to see what's going on the other side, they may come through to something like that. I have actually seen a attorney's law degree that's been chewed through. I don't think he was very happy about that.
Probably not.
No. So even through, say, an inspection there for real estate, sometimes we'll go through and just move a painting, just give it a little tilt, see if it may be stuck to the wall and there may be termites behind it.
Right. Well, and, you know, your inspection has to be limited.
Correct.
Because you can't see behind all the furniture. You can't see behind the wallpaper.
Yes.
Yet, you guys go around feeling the wallpaper.
We do. You can run your hand against the wall and feel any hollow, some soft spots there. Of course, we are always looking for the obvious, you know, damage, mud tubes that might be coming out of the wall. You never know. And a lot of our inspections are educated guesses in some circumstances. We may see one tiny, very tiny pushpin small area mark in the wall, and we have to take a very, very close look. So sometimes during inspection, I might be, you know, my eye 1 inch against the wall. What is that? What I think it is? Okay, time to investigate.
Well, and because a lot of times termite inspectors ask, when's the last time the house was painted?
Yes.
Why do you want to know?
Yes. A lot of times we may come into a remodel, and we may even smell the fresh paint. It may have just been a week ago. And circumstances like that, I always try my best to take a good look, of course, but in those circumstances, I'm I'm taking a very hard look. Something might be covered up. Worst case scenario. Trim boards, things like
that. Exit holes.
Yes.
Those show up pretty quickly after a paint job, usually, don't they?
They can, yeah. If there's an active infestation, it doesn't take much time at all. Termites are a lot quicker than some people think.
Yeah. So, well, we are talking to Chance Sattler, who is our go-to guy when it comes to pests, and we're going to talk more to him. And if you would like to give us a call and ask a question, I invite you to do that. We are at 840-1000. We'll be back talking a little bit more about rodents right after this with Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. I am here with my Director of Operations.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mark Carr at my side.
Yeah, you talk about pests and you invite me.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm not offended at all.
And, well, we're talking to the king of the pest control, and that is Chance with Classic Pest Control. And we promised to talk about rodents. Before we do that, we have a caller that's got a question for us. Good morning, Bruce. Are you there, Bruce? Okay. Let's try this again. Bruce? Well, okay. Mr. Gannon will get you hooked up here in a minute, so hang on. Chance, let's talk about the rodents and what we can do to kind of prevent, because fall is the time of year that the field mice come in and let's talk about that a minute.
Well, finally we've gotten some cooler weather here. A lot of things that are interested in that and interested in your home are the mice. So a few tips to keep them out in the first place. Of course, one of the best things you can do, mow your lawn. Trim the grass against the side of your house, entryways. So holes maybe around your HVAC system where the pipes come in. Everything you can do to seal it up to keep them out in the first place. I see, and particularly in my neighborhood, for instance, people love to leave their garage doors open, cracked a little bit. And sometimes they may forget and leave them open overnight. And that's just a freeway for them. They're coming on in. Keep your pet food sealed up in a metal or plastic container.
And the thing is, back when our kids were little, I would say, Jim, how do these mice keep getting in? And he would say, well, Becky, the kids leave the doors wide open.
Of course.
They don't really have to find a hole in our house. They would just walk right in. I know that you have talked about placement of traps for rodents.
Yes. Rodents, they like to, along with many other insects and things too, they love to follow walls. So snap traps are still very effective and still used professionally rather than using bait that could cause an issue around pets and children. Sometimes we may go the old snap trap method, which is great. The more the better. If you can place them against the wall, several of them next to each other, they can jump over one trap, but not two. Peanut butter, chocolate syrup are favorites in the pest control industry for bait. My personal favorite, a little secret, don't tell everybody, but a little bit of peanut butter in the bottom, and then some little piece of dog food placed directly on top. As the mouse comes by, he'll tug on it and bite it and tug again a little bit harder, and that's more likely to set off a trap.
Well, PETA is going to be after your case because they don't want to kill these mice. They want to set them free. So do you have any live traps?
You can try bucket traps. You give them a ramp, something leading up to the top, and you'd be surprised what you can find on YouTube. People are very ingenuitive with these traps, and you could have a bar going across the top of this 5-gallon bucket with a pipe just sort of spinning on top. You place some peanut butter on that, and as they come up, they'll slip right off the side and into the bucket. Of course, that's something, depending on your mouse problem, how many mice you might have in that bucket, and I don't know what you're going to do with them once you get them in there. If you leave them, you know, let them go right outside in the back of your backyard, well, I think they're going to come back.
Well, I've got this is a pretty gross question to ask you, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Okay, like I showed a property one time, and it was an old church, and went into the bathroom, and there were floaters of dead mice in the toilet, but then there were a few swimmers that were still swimming. Now, where did those mice come from? They couldn't have just fallen in there. Did they come from outside in the... Because there was no lid on the drain clean out. Because I thought, oh, well, they're just swimming in there after the moisture.
Now, I've heard reports of that, where this is kind of the whole New York rats in the sewer type thing. They can swim up the pipes. In that case, I think maybe they were already in the house, and they can smell that water. And they probably just wanted a drink and and fell on in the bowl there.
There was a lot of them.
Oh.
I know. Okay, I've grossed out the pest control guy.
This is bad. I'm going to dream tonight about snakes in my attic and rats in the toilet. That's just
well, and if
wonderful.
You have rats in your toilet, you're going to have snakes in your sewer lines, right? What's the difference in a mouse and a rat?
Oh, size, number one. Most people don't realize that we do have some large size rats here in Oklahoma, and in Oklahoma City especially. They can get up to, with tail, well over a foot. So almost a small cat. Yes, it's pretty interesting when you run across one. Other than that, there's a few different types of rats, riff rats and things like that. But thankfully, we really don't run across that very much here, and it's typically your field mouse that I'm getting calls for.
Right. Mr. Gann is telling me we have a caller, and just so you know, Mr. Gann and I have no... thing on my computer to let me know. So good morning. Oh, Bruce, good deal. You're back.
I am.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling back.
Hey, we have carpenter bees. We've had them treated. They come and they go. Mostly they just love our house. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah. Carpenter bees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that's one I've not heard.
Oh, come on now. You're just going to have to Google them. I had to. I had never heard of them.
My bad.
Yeah. You're going to have to, I guess you go farther south, you know, Texas and farther south. Well, they have homed in on our home. And our bug guy, he was familiar, and he came out and treated them. This has been 2 years ago. But now they're back, and we have a couple of patio covers in our backyard that are heavy timber. They're Western red cedar. And these guys or girls, I don't know, love that cedar. I thought that cedar was impervious to bugs and infestations. Well, these bees love it. It's soft. They get in there, they bore in, and they are perfectly symmetrical and evenly spaced 3/8 inch holes.
Yes.
And, I wondered if there was any kind of a permanent fix for those, if there was something that we could do different or better. We had our guy out, and he dusted for them, and that seemed to clear them up for a while, but then they've just come back with a vengeance. They don't sting. They're not aggressive. They look like a bumblebee, only they're darker, and they just buzz around, and really they're not, you know, I haven't gone out of my way to kill them. They're kind of, you know, we're used to having bees. We had bees when I was a kid, and my granddad had bees when I was a kid, and so, and they don't sting unless they're, you know, they're felt. I think that if they're threatened, they'll sting, but mostly they're just big buzzers, you know, so, but they do like to bore into wood.
Well, Bruce, if you want to hang on, you can. We're up against a news break, and we're going to answer your question in detail when we return with more of Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to our Creepy Crawly show about bugs and rodents and such, pests as we call them. This is Becky Ivins, leader of the Becky Ivins real estate team. And by the way, Mark, what do we do all day, every day?
We help people buy and sell houses.
We do. We also do property management, and we can answer your questions. We love to be helpful. One of the most helpful things that I can be is my list of favorites. And my favorites are, it's not a very long list. It's pretty short, but it is the most traveled page on our website because people far and near look at that list because these are people that I trust. I've worked with a lot. Chance, are you on the website yet? Have you checked?
I'm not. Not yet.
I know. Do you know why?
Why is that?
I have to work with you longer. I have to sure that you are.
I'll be happy to.
We have worked with you for a while. We actually voted in our company as to who to invite on as a radio guest. How did we do that, Mark?
We did. We talk about who are we using, who do we get great feedback from our clients about the job that they did, and when it came to pest control, it just came back to Chance.
There you go. And they and reasonably priced.
Yeah, very.
So there you go. You offer something that most companies do not offer in a – and this is not an infomercial for you, but I just wanted to point this out because it's significant. But, Chance, you offer a one-year warranty.
I do.
So if termites come after you've treated the house for the next year, you treat that for free.
Absolutely. No cost to the customer.
Yeah. So, I mean, that means you got to check pretty close to be sure that there's no termites there.
I do. The last thing I want to do is have a customer call me and they have an issue. But if they do, I'm here for them.
There you go. So, Chance with Classics Pest Control. And, Chance, give your phone number out.
Sure. It's area code 405-306-6162.
There you go. And we were talking about bees, carpenter bees, right before the break.
Yes, Bruce called in and had a question about carpenter bees. I think he was trying to figure out what he could do for the future to try and keep these guys from burrowing holes.
Which brings us to... It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to bring out their small guns or their big guns. They can do small repairs. They can replace a whole roof. They put the new decking on if that's required by your new code. And they have all types of impact-resistant shingles, which gives you most often a sizable discount on your insurance. Robbins Roofing, 728-3700. They are 728-3700, Robbins Roofing. And our word of the day today is proactive. Proactive. Well, that is creating or controlling a situation that's causing something to happen rather than responding to it after it has happened. And that is what you're about to talk about with carpenter bees.
Yes. So Bruce was asking what he could do to keep carpenter bees out of his cedar. One thing he mentioned was he thought bugs stayed out of cedar. That's true in most aspects. The problem therein is there's these oils in cedar. It's what gives it that wonderful smell. It's what keeps the pest away. Is toxic to a lot of pests. Well, those oils seep out, and after time, cedar is like any other wood.
just dry and brittle.
It is, and it's very soft. Carpenter bees love it. You may find out you have carpenter bees by none other than carpenter bees flying around. They lead solitary lives, so they're not in a swarm, or there's not hundreds of them. And what they do is they drill these holes into the wood to...
Exactly 3/8 of an inch.
Oh, they're perfect circles.
Circles.
It's like you took a drill bit to it. Perfect. So as far as keeping them out of there, what you can do is, best thing really, is to paint the wood.
That's why you get cedar to start with, is because you don't have to paint it.
I know.
But
unfortunately,
over time...
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what you may have to do. Stain can work. Stain can work, sealants, but and paint, of course, whatever you can do to cover up that wood.
Can you oil it up again?
You know, I think that would go along the lines of a stain. Otherwise, I think you might have a lot of dust and stuff sticking to it. But that's probably the best way to go about it, other than, of course, a routine pesticide application by a pro.
Okay. So, over time, it gets brittle and dry, so it's just kind of like easy munching.
Exactly.
Do they
exactly.
just eat the wood and go on?
No, they don't. They don't eat the wood. They just burrow out these. It's like a nest. What they do is they place a larvae inside there and bring in things like spiders and maybe other wasps or such that are paralyzed that the larvae can feed on in its growth stages until it comes out emerged as an adult.
Well, that's just all kinds of terrible.
I know, yeah.
So if you got carpenter bees, that means you got spiders, that means you got moths, that, yeah. Okay, so we want to avoid carpenter bees. And I've never seen a carpenter bee on an ODAF 1, Oklahoma Department of mm-hmm. Agriculture Form Number 1, which is the termite inspection form.
Correct.
But those go. Is that where you would put that?
Yes. If during an inspection, we're not, most people just call these a termite inspection. But in fact, it's a wood-destroying organism. So what we're looking for is your termites. We're looking for carpenter ants. We're looking for carpenter bees.
Do you ever put roly-polies on there?
I have not yet.
Okay.
These are specific things that we're looking for, things somebody might ask about wood rot or something like that that we tend to run across fairly often, but it's nothing that's included on the report. We're very specialized.
Do you know it used to be? Back in the day, about the year you were born, they used to include, that's why they would call it organisms, because wood rot's a fungus, right?
Right. They would do fungi and... anything wood rot, things like that. The problem we ran into is that we're more specialized in the pest industry. We don't know a whole lot about mold. We can tell you that's probably mold there, but we couldn't tell you exactly what it was or how to go about
you
it the
go
correct way.
Bad mold.
Yeah, and then, any mold's bad.
And then we call Wes Anderson our mold guy.
Mold remediation,
and have the guy come check it out. And they do a fabulous job, too. Do you know one of the hardest parts about selling a property and people's big holdback on putting their house on the market is they don't know who to call for repairs. They have a problem, and they don't know who to call for repairs. Well, I'm just telling you that I can help you with that because I know those people, don't we,
yeah.
Mark?
Yeah. That's what – because we work day in and day out with – a whole bunch of situations, and through the years, we've seen just about everything.
Just about everything, and I read a couple hundred home inspection reports a year from start to finish. And you don't just glance at a termite inspection report. You kind of have to look and see what boxes were checked, what the little diagram says, and what the comments are on there, or you're going to miss things like carpenter bees. Right?
Right. You have to look.
And before we pass carpenter bees up, what is the treatment for that?
He said he had his guy dust it, which is the way I'd go about it.
Okay.
So it's a little small little bellow and a small amount of dust. And we just puff it in the hole there. and seal it up, and we're done.
Well,
pretty simple.
Do you wear a respirator? I'm worried about you.
I do.
Okay.
Do. Yeah.
I was going to say.
Well, the mother in you just jumped up right there. Are you being safe, Chance?
Bug safety, right? So, okay. We've got more to talk about, but we're up against a break again. We are with Chance Sattler, Classic Pest Control. We are talking about all kinds of varmints and what we can do to get rid of them, prevent them from coming, and we'll return right after this break with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company, leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And we are here with Chance Sattler of Classics Pest Control. If you have a question of Chance, do give him a call. Just call our office. We're going to hook you up with his number, 722-3232. We'll help you with most anything. If you have a question, you can give us a call at 840-1000. We're talking bugs, critters, and creepy crawly things here with Chance Sattler of Classic Pest Control. And we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Becky. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wanting to ask him about what's the best way to handle armadillos, keep them out of your garden.
Do you know something I learned about armadillos? That they're not real smart.
They're interesting little guys. They kind of bumble their way around things. Best way to do it is to trap them. Now,
and they walk right into a trap, won't they?
They will. What you need to do is funnel them in. So if you can just angle some, say, 20-some-odd foot-long boards towards the trap, they'll just bump along that board until they walk right on in the trap. No bait needed.
And I know, crazy. Yeah, that's what when I had a family member have armadillo problems. And this was in Texas, where they have more armadillos than we do here, I think. At least I've seen a lot more on the road. How's that? I was just told they're just not very smart. They'll just keep going.
They're not.
They'll go right into a trap.
Yeah. Best thing you can do when you do trap them is wear some protective gear. And it's not because they're going to come after you. They're somewhat docile. But they are known carriers of leprosy. Mm-hmm. I bet you didn't know that one.
Really?
Yeah. So safety first, as always. But fairly easy to trap.
Staying safe again. So
are they going after grubs? Could I not spray real heavy with diazinon or something?
You could. They are going after grubs. You can treat for grubs, and actually, this is your last chance for this year to treat for grubs. Your white grubs; those are guys that eventually turn into your June bugs that are dive bombing your front door in the evenings throughout the summer. But now is your last time to treat for them, and it probably won't do a whole lot for them for the rest of this year, but it's going to save you next year. So now's the time.
So is that something you sprinkle on your lawn, you spray on your lawn?
They have, I think most of them are granular applications, something that you would hopefully put down before rain.
Okay, or before you turn your sprinklers on.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, Jerry, thank
you.
You're welcome. And now, on grubs, is that the ones that eat the roots of your grass?
They are. And they'll leave splotches in the lawn. There's so many different lawn pests that it's something you may be better off talking to a lawn guy first, finding out exactly what that is. Particular pest might be. Sometimes it may actually be a fungus or something else attacking along the lawn and not grubs. The best way to check for grubs is to pull up a small section of sod about 1 foot by 1 foot. You can do that with a shovel and just get a little bit, you know, where the roots are and pull it up and count the number of grubs you see. If you see, I would say, more than half a dozen, yeah, you've probably got a grub issue and definitely now is the time to treat.
Wow. Do you know, pest control guys are sort of like attorneys. You guys specialize.
Yeah.
You're like the doctor of the bug and varmint world.
Thank you.
Right? So, I mean, but you specialize more in what is around a house.
Right.
Inside a house.
Right.
Can damage the structure of a property.
Right. I specialize more in termite, but I'm here for most all your pest needs.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a great broad knowledge of that. Do you have to be licensed to check for termites?
That you do. We are licensed by the Department of Agriculture. I myself hold three different licenses. I hold a general pest control license, a structural pest control license, that's your termites, and a lawn and ornamental license so that I can treat your lawn for things like grubs and fleas, ticks, those type of things.
Do you treat lawns?
I do pest-wise, yes.
Pest-wise, okay. But not for just, like, put some nitrogen on there and make it greener?
Not yet.
Okay.
I may venture into that in the future. Not at this time.
Okay, cool, cool. If you have a question for Chance Sattler of Classic Pest Control or for Mark Carr, I'm going to throw him under the bus. just give us a call, 840-1000. It's 405-840-1000, and you can ask your question. How about hornets, yellow jackets, and wasps?
Yes, very active this time of year, as I can attest to a property of yours I was doing some maintenance on recently. I got stung. I know. That's going to charge. I'm going to charge you extra for that. Yeah.
Oh.
they're very active this time of year. Best thing you can do is take a look at your home before you're out there working. Low-hanging nests on eaves and things like that before you come along with the lawnmower. It doesn't take much to get these guys ticked off right now. So definitely be careful if you're out there.
And do you know something? Robin's Roofing, they said that that's one of their biggest dangers is wasp nest in like in and around the roof because they are going to disturb them. Mm-hmm. And their people get stung and roll off a roof.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
One of our fantastic agents, Melissa Schuster, she was out this week and just got swarmed by a wasp nest. So she got stung like 7 or 8 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It was our morning meeting. I think it was on Thursday. And she's like, well, I had kind of an adventure.
Wow. But
she keeps some wasp spray in her car now, doesn't she?
Absolutely.
Wow. Now, I've heard about some new stuff on wasp spray, which is a gel of some kind, and that it kind of seals up the wasp nest. Is that...
I haven't heard of a gel. I know there's some foam. Now they're putting foaming agents in them where you hit it, and it really does. It just encases the nest almost immediately, and it's very wonderful stuff. Now, one thing I can suggest is a lot of these things are actually petroleum products. So if you're at the house and there's a wasp nest and your kid's out there playing and you want to get rid of this thing quick, but you don't want to run to your big box store or you think it's more important for the immediate now and you can't, you know, pest guy can't be out there within 10 minutes, get a can of WD-40. It kills them dead very quickly.
Really?
Yeah.
Julie in our office carries WD-40. She's like the expert. She says it's good for everything.
It is. It's like duct tape.
So, okay. Well, and that's good, but you got to get close enough to spray that. Oh, I guess you'd take the little tube off.
Yeah.
And just use the aerosol spray.
Yeah, that stuff sprays about a good 5-6 feet. So you just spray it real quick and run away screaming.
Yeah, run away. That's your big thing. I would put your children inside first.
It probably, yeah,
before you start spraying a wasp.
Well, your mom came out.
I know, right? Yeah. I'm just like picturing these wasps flying out of the nest and you're trying to encase
it's
the
nest.
It's
just good exercise for those kids.
Yeah. So, what is the one pest that people are concerned about that we've not talked about today?
Ooh, well. Spiders is always a real big one.
Okay.
Black widows this time of year. I would say, okay, everybody's starting with their Halloween decorations. Those things are sitting out in the yard, or they may have been
in the attic for a while.
In the attic or stuffed in a box somewhere in the garage. And that's something I let people know when they're moving. be careful around those cardboard boxes. Fiddlebacks love cardboard, and they'll hang around that stuff. So wear gloves when you're doing that, of course. Always safety first. But black widows are a bit crazy right now, so be careful around your Halloween decorations. Of course, there a lot of them have lights, so they're attracting pests right to them, and you know, your flies and moths and things like that. And then what's going after them? More spiders.
Flies are the worst.
Oh, they're bad right now.
I know. We're out of time, but next time you come back, let's talk about flies, okay? Because they're the worst. Okay. Maybe not the most dangerous.
This show has given me the creeps.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that you tuned in today. If you want more information from Chance with Classic Pest Control, just give us a call, 722-3232. We're going to put you in direct contact with him. And come back and see us next week. We'll be right here on News Radio 1000 KTOK.